body comprised of membership that are independent power producers, and it is a body that will at any time the Alaska Public Utilities Commission and the Alaska Power Authority comes up with any changes in the rules and regulations and impose any of those to any one member of Rural Alaska Power Association, that member will go to the Rural Alaska Power Association for assistance in dealing with Alaska Public Utilities Commission and also the Alaska Power Authority. We have here in the North Slope Borough seven communities that are members of RAPA, and we understand that the intent of power cost equalization is that the cost of producing power and billing the consumer is supposed to be pretty much equal to what the urban rates are. Do you have any questions?
Mr. Opikson, no, we don't. But as I stated earlier, we're going to be probably having another hearing during the interim on this topic, and we would sure appreciate continued input from your organization, your association, as we go forward on this. So thank you very much for taking the time today.
Mr. Chairman, our president, the past Senator Blodgett, may have a position. I haven't been able to get a hold of him lately. I want to thank you for allowing me to appear.
Well, we thank you, and I've never known Mr. Blodgett not to have an opinion, so I assume we'll be hearing from him.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Jack Kreinhitter?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Jack Kreinhitter. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the record. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Jack Kreinhitter. I'm a policy analyst in the Governor's Division of Policy, and I worked with the Power Authority in drafting the predecessor of this legislation, HB 182, back in 1987, which you've now resurrected as HB 301. Just a couple of comments. Sandra, the committee staff, asked me if what the administration's position was on the bill, if we still supported it. My response to that would be that the governor and the administration still supports changes to the program, which will, if not reduce, at least limit increases in the cost of the program. Secondly, if there are funding reductions necessary or adopted in the budget, that I know that the governor's preference is that, if possible, some change be made in the program to avoid the kind of pro rata cut, which you're aware would be done under current law. Clearly, with a week left in the session, that's not looking very likely. I would comment briefly also in response to the comments you made originally about changes which make it appear that the funding shortfall may not be as severe as as it originally appeared. A couple of sheets here. Unfortunately, just as with the state revenue picture, the PCE situation comes down to a guessing game about oil prices, basically. Brent Petrie mentioned the increases in fuel prices that a couple of the, or actually several of the utilities have experienced. And if the worst case came to pass and that sort of 45 or 50% increase in fuel prices occurred across the board, you could still be looking at a serious shortfall in the program. I understand there's a proposal that's been circulating to carry forward some of the additional funding, the fiscal year 89 funding, as well as some earlier funding to offset some of that. But it appears that, even with the carry forward of both the money appropriated in by the 86 legislature as well as the 88 legislature, that you could still have a shortfall of up to about $2.6 million. Again, that would be based on an increase in fuel prices of about 50% for all the utilities. So if it is, in fact, less than that, the shortfall would be correspondingly less. One point related to that, I also heard some discussion about the possibility of supplemental appropriation. Someone suggesting, well, if oil prices do go up that much, maybe we can come back with a supplemental. One comment on that, when I talked to Bob Laresh, director of the Power Authority, his intention as of last week, anyhow, was that if it appeared on July 1, at the beginning of the fiscal year, that there were not adequate funds based on what utilities were incurring for fuel costs and so on, that his intention would be to prorate the program beginning then and prorate it equally throughout the 12 months of the fiscal year rather than wait until wait until April and then have to cut the program by a much larger percentage in order to get through the rest of the fiscal year. So I'm not sure that supplemental approach is a practical one from that point of view. So in closing, I'd like to say the administration does support and would be in favor of the committee taking a good look at the program and trying to get a grip on the long-term costs of the program, as well as providing some better incentives for the utilities to operate more efficiently out there. But I think the Power Authority is to be commended for getting a good start on tackling that. They've made some improvements out there, and it's going to take a while. They're dealing with, I think, about 170 communities, but they've had some good successes. Nikolai is one where Brent just told me that as a result of their work in that community, they've been able to reduce PCE payments by about 50%. So if that kind of experience can be adopted across the state, we can be looking at some savings from that kind of action as well. Be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Cronin, thank you very much.
Well,
thank you.
Bill Blue?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am Bill Blue from the Alaska Environmental Lobby, and we have some comments on this. We recognize that we cannot continue to subsidize wasteful or inefficient energy use in rural areas, but we also recognize at the same time there is a need to meet rural energy needs within reasonable economic limits. As the state budget shrinks, it's inevitable that there will be some decrease in our level of subsidy over time. We think that there is a win-win solution to this problem. We think the problem is to create energy conservation programs that will allow rural Alaskans to enjoy a comfortable and healthy way of life without having to subsidize excessive energy consumption. We think that in many cases, the rural homes and generation systems as they exist today are horribly inefficient. We present for the committee some papers on available cost-effective energy conservation technology. This is technology which is readily available. There are such things as R11 insulation value windows, which have been demonstrated in the wintertime in Colorado to be able to produce more daytime heat gain on a north-facing wall than they lose at night. Energy-efficient appliances have been developed. There are some tremendous strides being made in that area. Better insulated houses are something which is quite available. We have things like the Alaska Craftsman Home Program, which are working on that. We have things like light bulbs, which are four times as efficient as conventional bulbs and are readily available, produced by companies such as General Electric. They also, by the way, last five times as long. We have technologies available like using waste heat recovery and cogeneration systems, which can improve the generation efficiency. We think that those are things which are available, which offer very real solutions, which, if we put some money into those, could eventually wean our rural communities from the need for subsidy and would still provide a good quality of life. Indeed, would probably provide more comfortable homes and a better standard of living than what most of the rural communities have today. Thank you. Any questions?
Mr. Blue, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Um, Mr. Hutchins, did you want to testify? I'm working off, I've got two lists here. I didn't see your name on the sign-in sheet, but I knew you wanted to offer testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I missed the sign-in sheet. I'm Dave Hutchins, Executive Director of the Alaska Co-op Association. Our association, Mr. Chairman, is composed of 15 electric cooperatives throughout the state of Alaska, and 8 of 15 participate in the PCU program. And although there are over 100 utilities who do participate in the program, our members actually serve a very substantial proportion of the consumers who receive PCE, because our membership who participates in PCE are either collections of villages, like Alaska Village Electric Co-op, which serves 49 villages, or their regional trade centers like Kotzebue and Dillingham and Macnack and so on. So they do serve a very substantial portion of the consumers on the PCE program. And I was relieved to hear your announcement at the first consideration of this bill that you're holding it for next year for interim work. We do think there are amendments to the PCE program that are desirable and are necessary, but it's frankly a very politically sensitive issue to deal with, and we think there probably be only one opportunity to make amendments to the PCE program, and we'd like to see that done deliberately and very with cool thought given to the amendments. Unfortunately, the statute as it exists today was passed hurriedly in the closing days of the 1984 session, and that probably accounts for some of the lack of clarity in the existing statute, and so we'd like to see those fixed. With your permission, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to comment on a few of the items contained in the bill, and then comment on a few other issues that we think ought to be addressed in whatever legislation is eventually considered. First, in regard to the reduction of the number of eligible hours from 750 to 500 kilowatt hours per month, I'd like to point out that the 750 is not an unreasonable number. For example, Chugach Electric Association, serving in the Anchorage area, 750 happens to be the average residential consumption rate for Chugach. So that's not an unreasonable number. However, if the program is to be cut somewhere, we think this is probably the best place to start. That is not a unanimous position within our group, but it is certainly a very strong majority position. Because the present average monthly consumption is something on the order of 400 kilowatt hours per month. And according to the APA study released last December, I think it was, only about 3.7% of residential kilowatt hours sold to PCE participating utilities exceed the 500 kilowatt hours per month. So this would be a fairly painless thing in terms of this change being made, but on the other hand, it doesn't save much money right away either. But the main thing it would accomplish, though, would be to prevent a rapid growth in the cost of the program at some point in the future, and it would provide an incentive for conservation wise efficient use of the energy that is available. On page two, the other really important thing here, I think, was setting up the system of priorities. Again, it's not exactly a unanimous position within our group, but again, a strong majority position, but this priority system is an appropriate way to approach the problem of what you do when there's a shortage of funding. On page three, there's a very extensive addition to the notice to customers that would be printed on each bill. We don't have any objection to this kind of information being provided, except that we have a practical problem. This is an awfully long thing to put on a bill, and there's just not room in most of the bills to print all of that. We can't see that the need for it is urgent enough to go to some different kind of billing system for everybody. And on page four, we do have a serious problem with section six. Definition of eligible customer. I think the people who drafted this were probably trying to be responsive to some of the comments they received from some of our members, and that when they were interviewing us, talking about what could be done, some of our members made a strong pitch that commercial customers should be kept in the program for social reasons within the local communities, but the local businesses should not be discouraged by removing commercial class from participation in the VCU program. So what they've done here is to try to set up a system where the small ones, using 1,000 kilowatt hours per month or less, would qualify, and those above that would not qualify. But we have a very serious problem trying to administer such a program. We divide among the customers within a customer class based on the consumption level. For example, let's say that a customer last year used 11,500 kilowatt hours for the year. This month they use 950 kilowatt hours for the month. They're eligible. Next month they use 1,050 kilowatt hours. They're not eligible at all. So you're going to have a yo-yo effect on their utility bill that's just going to be outrageous.
Refresh my memory. What's their threshold subsidies now?
They receive the benefits on the first 750 kilowatt hours, regardless of how much they use.
So they're treated the same as residential, and then
yes.
They pay. And so if they're up here in 1,000 or 12,000 annually, they're already into a non-subsidized portion of their consumption.
That is correct, and that's the approach we'd like to see maintained, because we'd have an enormous problem trying to administer a program like this where 1 month somebody's eligible, the next month they're not, maybe the next month they are again. The administration problems on that would just be horrendous. And then if that were eliminated, you'd no longer need Section 8, which simply puts eligible in a couple of places for consistency. Other issues that we would like to see addressed whenever the legislation is considered. One of the problems that we see is there are several problems related to Section 162D. And I've tried to separate them out by issue, and so I've proposed a couple of different amendments to 162D just to try to separate the issues. One of them that I provided to staff, and I assume you have in front of you, Mr. Chairman, would be an amendment to treat cost and rate equally as PCE calculation basis. At the present time, the rate was kind of tossed in there as an alternative way to calculate the PCE benefits. But they didn't, when this was printed, adopted originally, this particular language was adopted as a part of the Power Cost Assistance Act in 1981. And they didn't, in the drafting, repeat everything. And so although I'm sure in my own mind that the intent was that the 95% of everything, of all the costs above the threshold level would be, that would apply to as a modifier to the rates as well as costs, it isn't spelled out that way. And we think it needs to be. Otherwise, you can get a good deal more benefits for PCE for your consumers by qualifying under a rate calculation rather than a cost calculation. We think this is just a matter of clarity that'll be fixed whenever.
Dave, I hate to rush you here. I got a note here. The Labor and Commerce Committee is trying to move in here momentarily. So maybe if you could summarize your the conflicts or the concerns and the amendments.
Okay, I just mentioned two others, and then I'll finish. Mr. Chairman, the second one was to establish a workable annual adjustment method, and I'll be happy to deal with your staff on that. The third one is an amendment to permit Copper Valley Electric Association to participate in the PCE program. They're presently excluded statutorily because they receive more than 25% of their power from hydro instead of getting only 75% from diesel. But their costs, their rates, for example, in the Glen Allen area are 20.5 cents per kilowatt hour, which is roughly comparable to Dillingham. They really ought to be in the program. But I guess just in closing, Mr. Chairman, I would urge you that as you go through this, I know that you're going to be getting a lot of suggestions for some radical redrafting of the program where it would look entirely different from the existing program. I would urge you to resist that, that with all its imperfections, it does work reasonably well. And some of the radical surgery proposals, we're afraid might not.
Mr. Hutchins, thank you, and we'll, again, as I've told other people, really would like to work with you and your organization during the interim. Ms. Fay, I know that you've done some research, and similarly, we may want to make more requests of your work. Was there anybody that didn't get a chance to testify who I neglected or signed up? But we will continue this during the interim. If anybody has specific comments or specific amendments, we would certainly appreciate them being submitted to the committee. Thank you very much.
Yeah.